Blog Talk Radio.
We've got film, and we've got psychology. When we put the two together, we've got filmcology. Each week, we will look at the psychology of the characters in film, and it gives us something lovely to think about. So, let's get started. Filmcology is now.
Hello, everybody. It's Thursday. Good morning. If you're on the West Coast, and if you're on the East Coast, then you're having hopefully a good afternoon. Okay. The show that I picked for today is called Deliver Us from Eva. And this show is, it's a romantic comedy. You've got to do romantic comedies. Yes, we're going to get some monster movies in there, but it is the Love Me Do month, and we're pretty much ending, this is the end of that, and this has been a wild ride as things go for a February and a Valentine's month. I mean, I've been working on the whole love thing, and there's some really great quotes in this film about love that I think are fabulous, and I'm going to put them in there. And then this show is going to be just a little bit special. It's going to close out our February filmcology month because there are some awesome songs in this movie. Just, it's one of the things that I will say about, there are a lot of differences you see in film. You know, there are films that are blaxploitation films. There are films that are clearly, you know, written for teenagers. You know, film has all kinds of target audiences. I don't know what the target audience was for this film other than possibly just, you know, people, you know, having to deal with the families that you marry into. I mean, that's not, I mean, it's one thing to have to marry someone and kind of deal with all their idiosyncrasies, but then you also get to deal with mama and daddy and brother and sister and cousins and, you know, the crazy old Uncle Harold or Aunt Methily, whatever. And that's all the beautiful parts of life. They're difficult at a moment, but, you know, at some point you'll probably look back on it and, you know, grimace or smile or something, but it makes your life a little bit more flavorful. So in this episode, there's a song that I will play a little bit later when we talk about it, because I swear, I don't know, I, as an African-American, I have never met an African-American who did not know this song and would start singing it when it came on. So, but we'll address that. And then this show, I'm going to actually end the show with the theme song that was throughout this entire movie, and it just talked about the sisters and how they just sort of held together. It was hilarious, but the song is really fabulous. So with that, we're going to go ahead and get started. We already have a caller on the line, my good friend and sister, Lydia. I hope you're ready to jump in.
I am. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I feel great. Haven't had any sleep, but hey, I just feel really great about this show. Just gave me a little shot in the arm, and so it was really fun, you know, looking at it again. And just so, why don't I go ahead and talk about some of the, you know, just sort of the main plot. The main plot, first of all, is there's a sister who ended up taking care of her younger sisters after their parents died in a car crash. And she was extremely responsible. So her life was no longer about all of her hopes and dreams. It became about taking care of her sisters. So she did all the responsible things, and, you know, she worked really hard, and She stays on top of the things her sisters need to do. And even though her sisters, two of them are married, one of them is in a serious relationship, the men that are with her sisters are they're a little irresponsible in some ways, but the point is they have a real problem with having to deal with their in-law, which is Eva. And Eva is a little uptight. She's wound up really tight, but usually that means somebody's done something to hurt you or harm you or something like that. So we're going to go ahead and get started as we look at this family and how they sort of keep people either at bay or, you know, alienate people, or there's all these different lovely things going on. So, so Leah, why don't you go ahead and tell me your first impressions about the movie?
My first impressions of the movie was it was funny. I really enjoyed it. I loved how it started. I'm not going to give anything away. I don't know, but it was. I enjoyed that a movie that starts at the end and moves backwards. That's kind of what's interesting to me. You know, because they started out, he said, you know, I'm dead.
Yeah.
Eva killed me. Well, the guys killed me, but then Eva killed me. Anyway. Yeah, I thought that was, I always enjoy that. And I enjoyed getting to know the characters, right away they threw you into it and got you to know some of the characters, a little bit of it. And also the main point of it was that the guys that are dating the sisters, they feel that Eva is meddling, that she is, you know, ruining their life with the sisters.
Yeah. And there, I mean, it just, I've seen aspects of this in my family. When you have a large family, oh Lord, and especially if you have a Southern large family, there's no stepping into it without getting touched by other people in the family. There's no getting around it. I don't know how you can. I mean, basically, whoever you marry or you get involved with would have to completely extricate themselves from the family. And that's really hard to do with Southern families, it seems like to me. I don't know how you could do it. I know that there were times I tried, it didn't work. There were times that other people in our family tried, it doesn't work. You can move away, it doesn't matter. You just can't get away from them. And then, you know, as you get older, you begin to realize that that's actually a good thing, too. So with the beginning of this movie, which I loved, was the old sort of 60s, girl band. I mean, well, like the Dream Girls, the Supremes or something like that. You see this, and then you have these men that are dressed dapper and they're dancing, and it was really it was sort of an experience, and let's face it, it's a movie that basically focuses on the black people, the black family. And so there's all that that's being played upon comically. So if you've tuned in, no matter what race you are, just understand that this isn't about any kind of racist thing. This is just talking about the things that become funny. They're funny from the perspective of, say, for instance, myself as an African-American person. Even if you're not African-American, you should be able to see this translate in your life as well. Mm-hmm. So, but there are just little things that are so inherently African-American stuff. There's usually, with movies that involve African-Americans, there's a lot of music and there's there's always dancing somewhere in there. It is not a musical, but there's always dancing. Whether some people are at some family get together and they go into an electric slide, or I don't know what it's just. I but it's one of those things that I notice more and more as I get older, and I, you know, look back on some of the films and everything. But so there's that, and it starts out and sets the tone. And as Lydia said, we start from the back. You know, we see this somber situation, and then all of a sudden, one of the main characters, LL Cool J, leads us backwards into how things could go so wrong. Which I like those kind of films too. It piques my interest real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but there's the words that you must pay attention to. For instance, the tone is also set with Eva, as it starts out with the husbands, I'll just call them the husbands. The husbands were going to watch a football game at a home, one of the girls' home. And then all of a sudden, the girls are coming in with food and stuff for a book club. And guys are like, what are you doing? And so here becomes the big contention of, you know, what's supposed to be going on and who has the right to the room. And then Eva, the almighty Eva, walks in, and she has this really succinct, mm-hmm. sort of Julia Sugar Baker speech for them, which I have to tell you, I have to tell this speech because it just cracks me up. She says that this isn't about a book versus a football game. It's about men versus women. I mean, it's just so hilarious when somebody takes it to such a big, great, huge. She just made it huge. And these poor, unsuspecting guys just don't even have the wherewithal upstairs to even keep up with her, really. So she says, women who aspire to culture and men who aspire to scratch themselves. Women who bear the burdens of life and men who create those burdens. Women who uplift humanity and men who uplift lap dances. And if society were left to the whims of men, we'd still be in caves carving pictures with our non-opposable thumbs. No, today, gentlemen, today we have civilized behavior, she says. And she goes on to say, today we raise our voices against tyranny, crudeness, and playoff games. And that is it, gentlemen. End of story, the fat lady singeth out of the room. And she says, if that wasn't enough. By the way, if any of that was lost upon you, it has just proven my point again. So if you're a man watching this, you're probably having all kinds of expletives in your head about this woman. Even though she's beautiful, you're just thinking probably not very pleasant thoughts. And then if you're a woman, you might actually buy into that whole thing she said as if, yeah, she's right. Well, no, she is. I don't think that a football game is tyranny because the men in your life want to watch it. I want to watch football more than my sweetie does, but we've never really had a situation because we don't live in the same household where it's going to be a big issue. Although there have been games where I was not paying as much attention to him. So anyway, so this is how we start. And then I think that people probably need to sort of look at and ask the question, which I'm sure you've probably heard this, Lydia. People always say things, there's a couple of things that people say, well, you're marrying that person, you're not marrying the family. And then there are the people who say, there's the other faction that says, you know, whoever you're marrying all, you know, the rest of the family comes with it. what is the answer? You know, I'm not sure what the rest of you out there think. Certainly welcome to call in and tell us. The number is 646-727-2914. But myself, in our family, once you step into it, you just don't get out very easily. It just, my brother-in-law, well, he's my sister's ex-husband. He didn't understand how my dad, my parents have been divorced since I was 10. He couldn't understand how come my dad was always at family get-togethers on my mom's side of the family. And you would see my dad more than you'd see me because I'd always have all these other things going on. And he just did not understand that. And I told him, I mean, this is when they were still married, my sister and my brother-in-law, I said, once you're in, you're in. I mean, you're family. What, all of a sudden, I'm just going to, okay, you're divorced, so I'm going to just pretend like you don't exist or I don't know you. He said, but most families don't act like that. I said, well, I don't know what to tell you. It's just a tradition in our family. So, and several of my sister's boyfriends have thought that was really odd, but I don't know. What do you think about it, Lydia? Which camp do you go for? You're in the family. You're either marrying the whole family or you're marrying just a person. What do you think?
Well, when you're, you know where I'm coming from. Love is love, and you don't turn it off and on. And I have a brother-in-law, and my sister's divorced from him, and I do love him. Now, unless there's abuse, then you know you might well see the bottom of my shoe. But and you probably wouldn't want to come around the family if there's abuse. But you know, my mom was raised in a small southern town, and I think that really, you know, I was raised with it's like your family. My mom was married very young and had one child, and then was divorced for a number of years. But her first husband's family, she called the mom, Mom Clark. And I remember we all trooped down there, her kids with another man, the man. We all trooped down to Southern Illinois and had Thanksgiving with him one year. And Mom was just like, you know, that's my daughter, Vera. You know, so I think some families are like that. I think that, you know, when they love big. And if they accept you into the family, then that's, you know, you're in. And, you know, I think that and I certainly feel that way about my husband's family. He comes from a big family, and I truly love his family. And but we're not that tight-knit. We don't live in the same city and that type of thing. So there's not the interference type of. You know, not the interfering type love.
Right, right.
I believe
Lennis joined us, possibly. You there, Lennis?
Oh, hi. I'm just listening in the background.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to want you to join in a little bit, you know, and you'll know exactly when, and just so... you'll have to pop in there. I'm not sure.
All right. Hi, Lydia. Good morning to both of you.
I know that Lennis knows the song because she's African-American. And if Lydia knows it, then she's going to join in too. But there's a song in this movie. That I'm telling you, folks, mark my words. Is that it? If there's an African-American person who can hear this, they'll probably start singing it. Okay, so moving back to where we were, and Lennis, what I was saying is, the question was, do you believe you just marry the person, or do you believe you marry the family?
Both.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Both. Because, you know, when you get married, you want to kind of know what your spouse's family is like. Healthy? Do they have mental issues? Do they get along with most people or stuff like that? So Yeah, when you marry someone, you are just, as they say in the Bible, marrying your husband. But, you know, you got to get along with the family, especially if they have a relationship with their siblings or their parents, then also you want to follow suit. So hopefully it works both ways. But, of course, you love the man no matter what. It's between the two of you. But, again, like I say, you got to love some aspects of the family, I guess.
Well, I think you're going to be dealing with them generally on some level. Yeah, it was interesting that one of the husbands said, it's all he's so frustrated with the closeness of the girls, and he says, yeah, it's one for all and all for Eva.
That's true, but that's because they let Eva be the leader.
Yeah.
The one that,
well,
the what,
yeah.
So.
And it, she sort of raged uncontrollably. I mean, and she was doing it for good reasons, but like I have a friend who lives in Canada, and her mother died when she was, well, Lydia and I have a friend, and when she was 12 years old, her mom died of cancer, and it was just, it's just sad, but she had younger siblings, and so at 12 years old, she's taking care of her siblings. I mean, she stands in the mom's role, and to this day, she's the most responsible person. She's the one that looks out for her siblings, and you can tell. I think Lydia and I have talked about this before. We can tell pretty easily that there's a lot that she sacrificed because she took on that responsibility of looking after her siblings. In my family, when my parents were divorced, my oldest brother, he took it upon himself to sort of watch out. I mean, he was always sort of watching out for us, I think before my parents divorced, but He supported us financially. I remember when I was about three to four years old. I remember him taking me to be watched by my great aunts, whatever. And so, you know, my mom and dad would go off to work or whatever, and he's taking us around and, you know, making sure we are getting taken care of, and he would pick me up at night. You know, he watched over all of us, my brothers and everything, and we all looked up to him, kind of like a father. So I'm sure that my brother had a good life, but I'm also sure there were probably times that he would have rather been hanging out with, you know, his honeys and his boys and whatever. But, yeah, there's something to be said for people.
At the very least, these older children, the ones that are put in a position of responsibility, they lose a bit of their childhood.
Right. And I don't think they ever let go of that. I don't think they ever let go of that because, I mean, all throughout high school, my brother would, when he would talk to me, it was always in that fatherly sort of mode. And he'd be asking me questions to see where my head was and trying to figure out if there's anything going on in high school with either the boys or anybody else that shouldn't be happening. You know, he stayed in that mode. So, yeah. And there's this. So the character of Eva is not evil. She's not horrid, but she does give everyone a run for the money. What did you guys think about the scene where she made these baked beans that were so hot it was just knocking people over?
it was a little evil, but you know it was funny nonetheless. She liked them hot apparently, and you know there was a few wusses in the family that, you know, would eat her beans and pay for it.
I think she was doing the classic, you know, if you'll do this, then, you know, I know that you're testing. She's doing the testing. And so she's always putting these obstacles out there to sort of test people. And I, you know, quite honestly, I would think that has a lot to do with the fact that you lost your parents so young. And you have to be careful. You have to be really careful. That and the fact that she had this ex-boyfriend that dropped her like a hot potato because she wouldn't just leave her sisters high and dry.
Right.
It's real trust issues, I would think. So
I thought too. I mean, he really, you know, although she felt he was the one, but she made the choice of staying by her sisters. And what kind of a guy would ask you to do that, you know?
Exactly.
She dodged the bullet there, which we see later on.
But that was, you know, that was her first love. That was the guy that deflowered her. That was her big love, and that's so. Then when you get that kind of shaky thing, what usually happens is people get really controlling. You want to control your circumstances, your environment, everything, so that you don't get hurt again. I'm sure we all have experienced that. Yeah.
And because she loved her sisters, she didn't want them hurt either. That's
right.
Why she, I think, meddled, because she was afraid of them getting hurt.
Okay, you two are two moms, and I'm just going to ask real quickly before we move on to the next thing. Two moms here. Now, do you meddle at times a little more into your children's lives than you think you should? I mean, realistically, I'm not talking about what your own personal feelings are, but can you look at how you are with your children? Do you believe you have meddled at any given time that was a little more than you should have?
Well, I'll go first, Lennis. I would
yes.
like to meddle more, but my son doesn't stand for it. He just doesn't stand for it, and I've learned that if I want to be close to my son, that I can't meddle. I mean, I can't really say much of anything when it comes to his friends or his love life or anything. He, you know, he'll just shut down from me, and I'd rather have a relationship with him than always assert my opinion.
Lennis?
How about you, Lennis?
Okay, well, I know I have. Part of it is because with me being psychic, I can feel and see things before they happen. So sometimes, yeah, I've stepped over that bound, but I needed to. And, of course, my daughter got angry with me at times, but then the end results of something had happened, she was like, God, Mom, you're scary. You were right on. You know, but I sometimes... Yes, you have to explain things, not because I'm saying I'm a psychic, but sometimes you have to explain things. And kids may not understand that, but you can see in your experience to try and help them prior to that, even if they get angry. But, you know, we as parents, we have that right. We're nurturing. So, yes, I think sometimes we all do kind of step over the boundary being parents. But in a good place, I'll put it like Lydia, in a good place, not bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, see, now the control thing, which is very interesting, because LL Cool J, or the guy Mike, his name's Mike in the movie, like Lydia's husband, he comes in there, and all of a sudden, all of Eva's control factors start getting eroded. And it's interesting how He does things counter to what you would think you would do. You tell this woman that you're supposed to be courting that about your girlfriend. And she's such a high-moraled, controlling person. It just the husbands are totally upset because he's supposed to be kind of wooing her away, and he's like, yeah, my girlfriend. And I remember when I first saw that, I thought, why would he do that? But you can just tell by the way he knows how to work women. He's, quote-unquote, a player. So, So then when the date thing comes up, because he passed the bean test, they're going to go out on a date. And he does all the things that women would just shoot through the roof for. He's late. And then he picks her up in what? Remember, ladies?
A meat truck.
I know.
I loved it.
I love that meat truck.
I know.
Lettuce, okay. Now, see, I'm just going to ask Lettuce. I'm going to pick on her because I know a little something about her. If a man came to your house to pick you up for a date and you were all dressed up to the nines, and he was in a meat truck, would you go on the date, Lettuce?
Hell to the no. Hell to the no. In fact, I'll give you a quick example. I went on a lunch date with this guy, and I was dressed to the 20s, and he, well, you know, he had pants, slack on. Slacks and a shirt on. But anyway, so I said, well, oh, where are we going to lunch, right? I'm dressed to the 20s. Did you want a hamburger or what? I looked at him. I said, do I look like a hamburger bitch to you? Shit. Going out to lunch, ain't we?
Oh, my goodness. I just knew. I just thought to myself, oh, yeah, Linus would totally like, yeah, I'm going back in the house.
Yeah, I'm not. No. I mean, I just... Just be honest, folks that are listening. I'm a high-maintenance woman. I ain't going to lie. I'm high-maintenance. So when you come this way, it's not so much that you need to spend a lot of money, but you need to know how to treat a woman. That's high-maintenance to me.
Well, you know, he did know how to treat a woman, though, you know, and he mixed it up. And I don't know. It was. I think he was trying to confuse her.
I think he's trying to erode her ability to stay in control. When people are controlled, then they don't really let anyone in.
Right.
Oh. And, you know, but he gives good reasoning. You know, it's free. It's a clean truck.
I'm saving for a house. You know, I mean, in this day and age, a young guy that looked as hot as him would get away with it. Come on, Lennox. That guy was hot. So, you know, I'm serious. You know, he was beautiful.
Honey, he wasn't that hot. He wouldn't go. Coming up in a meat truck?
Okay, Lennox, just for, you know, giggles and whatever, what man could walk up with a meat truck and take you out? You know, some celebrity or someone we all might know.
No, I still wouldn't. I dated a guy with a high
yellow
Cadillac,
Washington,
and I told him, don't be coming by picking me up in that.
His wife with a cab,
got like
okay.
A pimp.
What?
I said, I dated a guy that had a bright yellow Cadillac, and I told him, don't be coming by picking me up in that. It stands out. I said, you look like a pimp.
There you go.
I'm different, Lydia. I'm different.
Oh, I know. I respect that.
Yeah, she's honest.
I mean, you stick to what you want and what you think is right, and you know, you want a certain level of respectability and that. And she wanted it too, but he, you know, he kept captivating her, you know, with his answers, you know.
Yeah.
And that was the little part in the cab of the little truck. And he's like, well, tell me a joke. And she's like, oh, I don't do jokes. I don't do it. And it's like, okay. So he goes, well, how about some music? And then here's the part where I know Linus can help me. And I'm doing this, folks. This is just like a special thing coming out at the end of Valentine's Day because I just challenge you to be a black person and not start singing with this. And so I'm going to put this on. It's going to take a couple minutes. But this song... I don't care. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. You're gonna start singing. Okay? Here we go.
Oh, you're so bad.
So you gonna sing it with me?
I will love you anyway, even if you cannot stay.
Dennis. I know you're singing.
Give me where you ought to be. I just want to satisfy. So you're not mine, I can't deny. Don't you hear me talking, baby? Love me now, I'll go crazy. Oh, see things. Oh, you know you.
Never met a black person who didn't go into song when they heard that. Now, Lennis,
you know you are bad.
You
know, I used to play that when I was having sex with L Train. That was some music I was. That's why when you started playing it, I was like, is it sex time?
She started gyrating.
I'm serious. I like to hear music while I'm making love. And I used to play that for L Train. So that's why I told Brenda, you're bad.
But, I mean, am I right? Just answer that question. I mean, don't you know, most black people you know, when that song comes on, don't they start singing it? Don't they start singing with it? Yeah.
Of course.
I don't know what that is, but I just.
Because he's a sweet thing. Right, Lydia? He's a sweet thing.
Yeah. But I just had to do that, folks. I know it's a little bit strange, but I just had to put that in there. It's the end of, you know, the Love Me Do month, so I figured it worked. And anyway,
but you know, it was
so
good, Brenda,
then,
because it's true. You should love people no matter what. You shouldn't put stipulations in there and expectations. If you love them and want to be with them, whether it's a meat truck or a garbage truck, you should accept it. And so that song is good.
Mhm. Yeah. So, I mean, it was
that I did not know it. It must have been, you know, after my time, or, you know, I was married to a musician, and I had a lot of live music. When was that song popular?
Oh, it actually was with Chaka Khan. It was with the band Rufus, which was from 1970s. And Chaka Khan, I don't know if you know who she is, but she sang, it was Rufus featuring Chaka Khan, and she sang it. And then Mary J. Blige, like in the early 90s, she did the cover of the song, which is so well done that, you know, it's kind of hard-pressed to tell which one you like, you know, more. I mean, I think most black people give you the same reaction either way. I've never heard anyone else.
Yep.
I don't really want to hear anyone else do it, but I'll go Mary J. Blige and Chaka Khan. It's just a classic song. I mean, there's a lot of songs that I'm sure African American people make love to, like everyone else in the world. There's a lot of songs that make you think, yeah, let's go rocking. But this song, for some reason, it's the tempo of it and the smoothness of the voice, and it has that sort of movement. I don't know. But it's really, really sweet.
I think I would have known it if it had been really popular in the 80s. But when I was married to a musician, I was just surrounded by live music all the time and didn't really listen to the radio much, didn't get into the disco scene, you know, that type of thing. Because of that.
Yeah,
but
this is
no, I've never heard that song.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Well, mark my words. I mean, they're out there, I'm sure. I mean, if Lisa, listen to this, Lisa, I don't know if you're listening to this show, but I bet you're singing it. So anyways, when we move from there, now see, we move from there, and it's this, let me just, I'm going to cut to another part of the film. Let us just say, and it shouldn't matter who you are when you love somebody. Now, I'm going to cut over to towards the end, and the delivery guy is in the in the beauty shop. He comes in, and he's trying to get his little package signed for, and he says, don't, I'm sorry, folks, somebody's trying to call him, but anyway, he says, don't, here before you ladies, you know, eat me up or something. And and they're like, what? The one girl goes, excuse me? And he says, you know how you ladies are. You know, man isn't good enough this way or whatever. You're always kicking him to the curb. And then you're upset when you ain't. And then you always wonder why you ain't got a man. So if that's not, I mean, that, there's the girl who's in there, Whitley. What's her name? What was her name, Aunt Lynn? You know who she was? The one, the hairdresser, Kim Whitley?
Hairdresser.
Yeah, that's her. It was nuts.
Yeah. Then, so when, you know, I heard, now I don't know what they meant by Code 12 because I'm out of touch with a lot of stuff, but as soon as that delivery man said that, all the ladies like, oh, hold up, and somebody said Code 12. And then the hairdresser comes over, and she said to him, because his name was Thomas, she said to the delivery guy, Thomas, she said, I need a real man, not a child or a boy. Give me a hard rock, not a soft little toy. You think women are hard? You think we're evil and mean? Well, I think maybe you don't need us. Maybe, and then the gay, who we think is a gay guy, the other hairdresser says, yeah, maybe you're on the wrong team. And she says, so I need a real man, and my standards are high. Don't like what you just heard? Then you need not apply.
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, I just love that. They had some wonderful scenes in this movie. The things they said to each other, it was just too much. But anyway, so when you're saying, like, we shouldn't be so judgmental of what a guy's, you know, his job is and all these different things, the reality is we write ourselves out of a lot of relationships. And like that movie, what was that movie? That movie was based on Steve Harvey's book, Think Like a Man. And
Man.
In that is same scenario. Oh, it's got to be perfect. He's got to be perfect. He's got to have the right car, the right job. And then you're willing to let go of a really good man for that, you know, or a good woman. If you, some of the things I hear men say, I don't date women who don't have their toenails and their fingernails painted. Well, they'll never date me because I never paint my toenails. I couldn't stand nail polish on my fingers. It always made me feel like I was choking to death, like I couldn't breathe. It doesn't mean that I'm ugly. It doesn't mean that I don't have a good personality. But, you know, I mean, I don't think there would have been a love match between me and that guy. But just think about what that guy is missing, because he's got these really crazy standards.
Well, you know, I must say, in today's society, I will say this. Men are actually looking for more women that are natural, you know, and they don't care about the size where we went through, I guess it was in the 80s or 90s, and women had to be a certain size. Now men are like, you know what, if you got your stuff together, you know what I'm saying, and you're a halfway decent person, they're going to talk to you whether it's a good-looking man or an ugly man, because they're tired of the games that women played so much 20 years ago that, or if they're with somebody with fake hair, nails, eyes, or whatever, that's just not them. They want a woman that's natural. This is who you are. This is who I love. you know, if you do the other things, it's just to enhance your beauty for you. But for the man, it's like, hey, I like it the way you are right now. Do you see that too, Lydia, today?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not into that glamour stuff anymore. Just don't. It doesn't move them because they found out beauty is only skin deep.
Yeah.
And in the eye of the...
They're going for the beauty, too. I do see them, you know, wanting to live up to the Hollywood standards of beauty. I see both sides.
Yeah, yeah, on both sides, male and female. Well, so then here we have this guy that was, she started calling him the meat man. So then the meat man, he saves her a couple of times. You know, he saves her at the mayor's ball when she runs into the
ex.
Oh my gosh! I mean, the ex's wife was pretty, but she was real adversarial and she was really nasty. She was just
it was really obvious.
And go ahead.
But he was a blowhard. You know, he was saying, I'm working for the mayor, and the mayor didn't even know him. He had just gotten hired, you know. He was a blowhard. He was, you know, flaunting it. You know, now she did say that, you know, she knew all about Eva, you know, that he loved her very much too, apparently, but, you know, couldn't handle that she was going to give some attention to her sisters. So he made her choose, and she chose her sisters.
Yeah, yeah, because he actually said something like, oh, yeah, where are your sisters? I mean, your baby sisters aren't your – he made a really snide comment about that. And the the ex's wife was just – I mean, I don't know why she had to get so into it other than he just must have lamented all the time about her, which But then you're there alone. You don't have your sweetie. And it's like, well, or her boyfriend. That was before he became the sweetie. And then he arrives, and it was sort of corny. But the point is, I think most women, no matter how independent they are, they still like being championed by, you know, a Prince Charming. You know, your Prince Charming may not look like something from a fairy tale, but, you know, what makes him your Prince Charming? For instance, Lydia told me something about her husband last night, and I told her, your husband's a superhero. He is. He's a typical come in on the steed and scoop people up. He's a savior. He's a superhero.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. And now I'm sure that Lennis has had a Prince Charming in her life. I know that for a fact.
Oh, yeah, I've had a couple.
Yeah, and it's not some big, giant kind of thing. It's like being there at the time you really needed them to be there, I think. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so if this story sort of changes, you know, from this sort of harsh woman to this whole sort of Cinderella story, it seems like to me, you know, it becomes more and more that way. And then what's interesting is the guys that are on the outside, they remain on the outside, and all of a sudden Ray becomes part of the family. Oh, my gosh. When they were so upset, like, you know, it's like, what's going on, Ray? I mean, you're sleeping with her? And he's like, no, I'm still a player. And he goes, it's just I have feelings. And the one guy says, feelings? He said, man, you're not supposed to have feelings. You're a player. That's like a pimp having a health plan. I mean, he went on to say, you embezzled the booty. He said, you have Tupperware here. That's Eva's middle name. I was just like, Lord have mercy. It was just like, you can't even imagine guys getting to that point, the frustration to where they would get that crazy. And then one says, he even has, and he holds up the CD, he goes, he even has a copy of their theme song. Oh, that boy was cracking me up. Okay, so I don't know if you remember the theme song. We will end the show with the theme song for those of you who didn't remember it. How you could not remember it? They would play it every morning. What do you guys think of that? They would play that song every morning as they were getting ready. Ain't no stopping the sunshine, huh?
It's okay. What was the song?
Really
ain't no
sweet.
Stopping us.
Yeah, ain't no stopping sunshine. Yeah. It was really sweet because it was just upbeat, and that's how they kind of made themselves Team Dandridge or something. And they just, but the men were just, I hate that song. And they played it to the hilt. This movie was over the top because it's a romantic comedy, and romantic comedies, even more than regular comedies, are over the top because that's how you sort of get everybody to sort of break up, come together, and, you know, fall apart and come back together or something like that. So, yeah. Let's see. And then the whole thing where they kidnap Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was sad when I first saw it that she was just feeling just this loss. She was just, mm-hmm. It's like I have finally everything I wanted in life and now he's gone. That was that whole thought really sad to me. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But now here's some good quotes that came out of this at the end, and I'm not going to give you every single detail about the movie. You probably need to just go see it. But, love triumphs over all. But when he finally has to come clean, LL Cool J, to the main character, Eva, about his part in being kidnapped and, thought of as dead, she, of course, reacts not very happy. He could have tried to punk out about it and just blame it all on the other guys, but she stood up with the truth and apologized. And then at that point, she says to him, because he says he loves her, and she says to him, love is not an excuse. I'm sorry. I've got this wrong. This is back with the guys when they were still complaining to Ray before they kidnapped him, because he finally admitted to the three guys that he loved her. And the one guy says, love is an excuse, an alibi, a justification for sex, but is not something that should keep a man from keeping his promise. Now, what do you ladies think about that phrase? I just can't believe that came out of someone's mouth who wants to be with one of the sisters. It's like, so what? What are you trying to do with her? But I'm going to get back to what it was. I'm sorry, I'm a little disjointed, but I was looking at my paper wrong. So then we get down to where Ray's apologizing to Eva, and he says he loves her. And she says, very somberly, this is a serious moment, she said, you know what I learned about love, Raymond? It's not a virus that infects you. It's a choice. We choose to be in love, and we choose what love makes us do. And she said, I earned your choice, and you stole mine. What do you think about that?
Interesting.
I think she saw it from her perspective. And, and her, because he fell for her, he definitely fell for her. And she opened up things in him that he didn't realize, his abandonment issues and all of that. And he fell for her in a big way. So that was from her, I think that's true, but it was still from her perspective. I'm talking about their relationship.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then the movie basically ends with, you know, him being the knight in shining armor sort of thing, you know, with the steed. Which it was all, you know, there's a lot of hokey moments in the movie, but there's a lot of hilarious moments in the movie. The beauty shop and, you know, just it skirted the issues of family and their control. It skirted the issues of how much of your relationship gets to be just yours, how siblings affect your life, how far you need to go as far as, like, for instance, at one point, after the first date, the one girl calls and says, it's emergency, and, you know, we need to talk. And so then that one sister gets the other sister on the phone, and you know, one's in the middle of, you know, cuddling, and the other one's in the middle of this or that. But everybody has to stop everything because sister's calling. And I don't know to what everybody else is like with family, but most of us have choices on what we're going to drop for. I imagine when Lennis, when her daughter calls, then everything's going to drop from when her daughter calls. I used to be that way with my parents, but then it became real obvious that, you know, they were doing just fine on their own. And I just, and some of us have friends where we do that, right? Or maybe
definitely
your spouse. Yeah. But this was like whenever any of the girls would call. So that's a huge intrusion on their lives. Huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they really thought about being independent and on their own until after she decided she was going to leave town. And after the whole debacle had happened and they finally came back with their boyfriends, I mean their husbands, you know, and that's when, you know, they sort of had to start realizing, like, we're not going to have Eva at our, because it went the other way too. She took care of her sisters, but then her sisters super relied on them, on her. As if.
Yeah, enabling, yep.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a good film for you to look at if you have a family that is, you know, if your family, when you're getting ready to have a baby and your mom or your stepmom or your mother-in-law is telling you that she's moving in with you for 6 months and she's got a whole feeding regime for your baby and if she's telling you things like that, sounds like it's a little bit more meddlesome than just plain support. And the same could be true when your in-laws start planning your wedding and your boyfriend is only just, you know, asked you to marry him or something, which just happens. This happens a lot. I remember reading something where Minnie Driver, I guess she was dating Josh Brolin, and that's his stepmom, and they ended up breaking up, and she said she just felt like Barbara Streisand was his stepmom was just, she wanted too much control, which Barbara Streisand is known for, although she produces some great stuff. It's just some people think that they know best for everybody.
Yeah, like the United States. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We're the wrong people to be on the phone about that. We'd be here for another 5 hours.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was basically it. Deliver Us from Eva, a good comedy. It's a fun way to sort of look at, you know, maybe your relationships and your family and, you know, possibly are you standing up for your loved one? Are you standing up for your husband or your boyfriend or your wife? Because one of the things I thought at the end of this movie is when you're in a relationship, it really should be you and them against the world. If you're in a relationship with somebody and it's not me and him or me and her, against the world. And I don't mean it to be adversarial. I mean, like, you two aren't together against everything else that would come. Then you probably need to do some work with your relationship. And I'm not guessing this. I'm telling you something that's for real. So take that little bit of advice and figure out a way to work at it. Take a good look at the one that you claim that you love more than anything and start showing it with everybody that's outside of the two of you. Okay.
Amen.
Now, I'll go ahead and put out some announcements for what's coming up, and I'll let Lennis and Lydia tell us about what their shows are, and then we'll close out the show with the theme song. So, okay.
Friday is Traffic Jam at 3 o'clock, and music for 30 minutes, make you smile, and hopefully when you get home, you got love in your heart. And that's what's happening tomorrow at 3 Pacific Standard Time, 6 Eastern Time. Lydia?
Saturday.
So actually,
will be,
okay, can ahead. I we'll quickly tag on to Lennis's? Tomorrow is going to be the closing of the, you know, Valentine Loving Month and Black History. But so, and also tomorrow is a new moon, folks. Remember that. It's going to be at 12:02. Midnight. So that's actually going to take place tonight at midnight.
Yep.
So going in. So that'll be the last of Valentine's Day, everyone. So listen to that. Okay, now on to Lydia.
Yep, Saturday at 3 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, 2 o'clock Pacific Time, and all the other times. We'll have Time to Love. And my question is, what's love got to do with it? And of course, y'all know my answer. Everything.
All right, I'm with you on that song.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be good. I spoke about you and Brenda's show on Wednesday, your past shows, how good they were. Go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you, hon. Yeah, so tune in.
Sunday's very important. Be sure and tune in Sunday at 3 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. The show is free advertising. I had offered this two Sundays ago, but due to a death in the family, I was unable to do the show. So I'm repeating it because it's my way of giving back to Black History Month. So if you have a product, a business, a website, whatever, call in. It's my free hour and a half to y'all. Tell people about your business so your community or your neighborhood knows who you are.
Awesome. Now, I just thought about something. Aren't you going to be at a services tomorrow?
Oh.
You're not?
Oh. Oh. Okay.
Well, it'll be interesting.
I have to do an archive show. Whoa.
Okay.
Whoa. Okay. Thank you, Brenda, for reminding me because I totally forgot.
I'm out of touch with a lot of stuff, you know, these days too. So
thanks for reminding me. I'll have to do an archive show because I won't be here. Okay.
So then next Tuesday, folks, we'll start the new week. I'll have BYO Brilliance, and we'll be talking about the brilliance of overcoming obstacles. And I have some great personal examples that happened recently. So with that, we're going to go ahead and end with Yoli, and this is the theme song from Deliver Us from Eva, and it's, you know, Ain't No Stopping Our Sunshine. So enjoy this, listen to the song, listen to the words, and thank you everyone for listening and calling in. Appreciate it, and we'll see you next week, Filmcology is going to be a cooler climate, and it's just shifted out, I think. We might have some changes, but anyway, it's the end of the show. Thank you for joining us, everyone, and
thank
be well.
You.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Thanks.
Ain't no stopping.